Dear Heavenly Father, I pray that by your Holy Spirit that we will take in the words of Ephesians and that we will be more alive in the Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Paul wrote this letter to the Ephesians from his prison in Rome, and it was during the time that Nero was persecuting Christians, and I guess you could say that persecution of Christians was at its height. On top of that, Ephesus was the most important city in Asia Minor and on a major trading route, so lots and lots of people came through. It housed the temple of the goddess Diana, and people came from far and wide to the city to worship her, for all justifiably as a major spiritual battleground. It was very difficult to be a Christian in Ephesus. And Paul, knowing that, wishes to encourage the Ephesians in their spiritual battle. As he states in verse 1, he would like them to live a life of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us. And Paul, being Paul, is very practical in his advice. That's one of the things I love about Paul. So he tells the Ephesians how they should be living and what they shouldn't be doing. And in verse 11, he makes it clear that the Christian life means being countercultural. I think it always does, and it particularly did in first century Ephesus. And it means living differently to the way others live. He tells them to have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. He then gives a list, which is by no means comprehensive, of behaviours that are ungodly. They include sexual sin, foolish talk, and greed. And he sums up ungodly behaviour in verse 5, by naming it as idolatry. And he uses harsh words to talk about idolatry. He says, no immoral, impure, or greedy person, such a person is an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. I think he's making a distinction here, in fact I'm sure he is, between Ephesian Christians who were in the process, like we are, of being renewed by the Holy Spirit, and fail at times to live a godly life, and those who were denying Christ and were persistently, over time, deliberately living a life with no regard for God. So I think this statement he makes is addressed to those completely denying Christ, not to struggling Christians. And clearly, as we do, the Ephesians wanted people to become Christians. I think it's worthwhile looking back in Ephesians and just seeing the wonderful words that Paul has already said to them about their relationship in God. That their relationship is based on grace. And that's the same for us. Not on the things we have done, are doing, or even will do, good or bad. Paul makes this clear earlier in his epistle in chapter 2, verse 8. And I'm sure you know these verses. They're kind of wonderful verses. For it's by grace you have been saved, through faith. And this is not from yourselves, it is a gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. It is God's love, his very, very deep love for us, that motivated him to send his son to take on the burden of our wrongdoings and die on the cross in our place. Because of this, because Jesus has paid the price, every person is invited by God to repent of their wrongdoings and accept his forgiveness. Once we accept him, and once we accept God as our Saviour, he then, through his grace, has a relationship with us. Through his grace, the Holy Spirit renews us, and we stay in that loving relationship forever. Just how wonderful is that? Having said that, we're still in the process of being changed. And we all continue to do ungodly things in this life, even though we're Christians. In some areas of our life, even while we're serving Jesus, probably without even realising it. I looked up a definition of idolatry as used in the Bible, and it said, idolatry is worship of anything other than God. So that's the same as saying that idolatry is when we put anything, anybody, before God. Or when we do things that we know aren't godly, and we don't really care too much, or we think that God doesn't mind really. So the question for us is God first in every area of our life? Now I know that I want that to be true for me, but I know that it isn't always. And there are many examples how we fail to put God first. And some of them are about our attitudes that are wrong. And here are just a few. Are we envious? We probably say no, but do we see people with more money, bigger houses, more influence even, and feel envy? Maybe we don't have a problem with that, but maybe we have a problem with forgiveness. I think forgiveness is one of the hardest things as a Christian. And it's difficult to forgive people, especially when they keep on hurting us, especially if they don't really care, or maybe don't even believe they are. I think it's easy for all of us to have areas of life where we're not submitted to God, which is what idolatry is about. I think we can also make idols of things that are in themselves good because they can take first place in our life above Jesus. And that might be our money, our comforts, our spouse, our children, our friendships. All great things. But once they become more important than loving God and serving God, they're in the wrong place. In fact, anything, any person, any attitude can become an idol when they replace God as first in our life. And anything that replaces God hinders us from living an effective Christian life, the life of love. Or as the title of this sermon is, it stops us being more alive in the spirit. And Paul is saying that we should give up anything that stops us following God fully. My gosh, what a challenge is that. As well as Paul talking about what we need to stop doing, or what we need to make sure we don't do, putting things before God, he also says how we can actively encourage our relationship with God. In Colossians, it talks about putting on various things. And now Paul goes on to talk about what we put on. In verse 18, we're told, do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery, but instead be filled with the Spirit. And I've put this first because being filled with the Spirit is the key to effective Christian living. Without the Holy Spirit, we cannot serve Jesus. The Holy Spirit transforms us to become more like Jesus and equips us with gifts for service in him. So it's an essential part of Christian living. We all Spirit is a continuous process. The Greek word for be filled in this text is in the present tense with the idea of it kind of continuing. It's also imperative with the idea that we should seek to keep on being filled with the Spirit. And it's also passive, because we don't fill ourselves with the Spirit. The Holy Spirit fills us. But what we do is we show the Holy Spirit we want that, and we can do things actively to show our willingness. And if we are willing to be filled with the Holy Spirit, we will do those things. We can quench the Spirit And that's something that Paul talks about elsewhere, by living and thinking wrongly. And that's why we all need to come to Jesus often, to ask him to restore our relationship with him and that we be filled again. Paul then gives a few things about how we can actively seek being filled with the Spirit, how we can have more of the Spirit. Verse 16, he speaks of making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. Now, we know the days are evil. We've only got to look in the newspaper and see the frequent stories of malice and hate and what they need to know that the days are evil. So how do we make the most of every opportunity? Listening to Hugh last week, I thought he gave us a great example of this. He spoke about every day praying that he would see the opportunities that God gave him to serve him. What a great thing to do. So let's follow his example and pray every day. Pray every day that we make the most of the opportunities that God gives us. Pray that God will change us to become more like Jesus through his Spirit. Pray that he will give us opportunities to help people in need, to serve people, and also opportunities to tell others about the gospel. In verse 17, it says, "Do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is." And the question is, how do we discern the Lord's will? And I certainly in the past have kind of got very kind of uptight about all of this. How do I understand what the Lord's will? And made it such a big deal. I'm wondering whether that's really kind of, really is a bit stupid. Because there's some things we do that we should all be doing that are part of being a Christian. Reading scripture, praying, telling others about the Lord, helping the poor and the needy, caring for God's created world. But in addition, God will have specific things for us to do. And I think it's wise to seek out people we trust to pray for us and to ask them, what are our gifts? What do they think we should be doing? I think it's also good to wait on God and take a few risks by trying things out. On Tuesday, Malcolm kind of suggested a very down-to-earth way how we can know what the Lord has called us to do. When somebody asked a question about the Lord's will, he suggested we try things out. And if that doesn't work out, try something else out. I would say, how down-to-earth and common sense is that? And that sounds good to me. So let's do that. Verse 18 to 20, music from your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. One another. Another way that we put ourselves in the way of being filled with the Spirit is to commit to the community of God. And that makes that clear here. We need each other. We need to be engaged together in worship, prayer, with thankful hearts. We need each other's support, encouragement, and love. We need each other's wisdom. So let us commit to being part of this community of St. Mary's. Let us seek out opportunities to be with other Christians so that we may put ourselves in the way of living the life of love. So to sum up, how does God tell us we should live effectively as Christians, as children of light? He says we should reject ungodly feelings, thoughts and deeds. We should also actively cooperate with the Holy Spirit, asking him to change us and transform us to be more like Jesus. We should be careful how we live, and commit each day to the Lord's service. We should seek God to understand his will and then commit to it. We should do all these things privately before God and also in joyful community in the church. Because we're the bride of Christ and we're waiting for our bridegroom.